Under existing state law, Governor Andrew Cuomo is given wide latitude with his appointment power, even when it comes to positions requiring the consent of the Senate, which, regardless of party, generally signs off on the nominees they're asked to consider. But State Senator Liz Krueger, a Manhattan Democrat who as chair of the Senate Finance Committee is responsible for vetting many of these appointments, is pushing legislation that would limit the pool of potential applicants, prohibiting the governor from tapping anyone serving as a state officer, employee of the executive chamber, or registered lobbyist from serving in Senate confirmable posts. Senator Krueger joins us now to discuss her legislation and the appointment process in Albany more broadly. Welcome back to the show, Senator.
Thank you very much.
So in a press release, you said it's important for individuals with authority over public funds or in critical decision-making positions to be, quote-unquote, fully independent, going on to say there needs to be no question of where their loyalties lied. Was there something about the recent slate of nominees from the governor at the end of this year's legislative session that made you want to codify this type of safeguard?
It wasn't necessarily any group of people that was nominated now, as opposed to in previous years, but it was a reaffirmation to me that the governor seemed to have a design plan each year that he would wait to the very end of the legislative schedule without giving us any of his nominees for anything. Then they would all show up at once in a long list with like 10 days left of the session, even though I would always ask him, please send me these earlier so that we can do a full vetting and full review when it's not the second busiest week of the year. I'd say budget week is the busiest. This is the second busiest, all the end of session legislation. But it's very clear to me that that is by design and intent, so that the public doesn't see who's being nominated or confirmed. And so the legislature, the Senate, doesn't have enough time to really do the work we should to evaluate any of these candidates. And when I took a look, I realized many of these names were very familiar to me because they were already employed by the state of New York working directly for the governor or were on other commissions and authority boards from previous. And so they were doing multiple jobs, including a day job for the governor. But it also struck me that quite a few of them were actually lobbyists in their day job, and hence had what I think are some fairly worrisome conflict of interest between their fiduciary responsibility to their clients who pay them to be their lawyers as lobbyists, and what should be their fiduciary responsibility to the state of New York if they are working on the board of these various authorities and commissions and agencies. I first said to myself, well, I'm the chair of finance. I can just refuse to put any of these people through the process on the grounds that they are an employee of the governor, the executive chamber, or they're a lobbyist. And then I thought, no, the better way to do it is to actually pass a statute. So got to work writing the bill, asked my colleague from the assembly, who's a very strong, good government reformer and is an overlapping assembly member with me, Harvey Epstein, whether he would be interested in carrying this in the assembly. And he said yes. And here we have a bill.
I'm interested in why you feel the blanket restriction is a better way to go than considering all these potential people on a case-by-case basis and really weighing each of them individually and considering whether they really do have, you know, fiduciary conflicts or whether they might really be the governor's stalking horse or whether they could potentially be independent voices. Why is this the right way to go forward?
There are 20 million New Yorkers, mm-hmm. and very few of us are irreplaceable as much as we all think we are. And so I really do believe that there is a wide swath of talented, responsible people who would like to participate in our government and could participate in our government So having the same five show up on pretty much every board or public authority is not an ideal model. I also believe that the way that our Constitution is set up, the governor always has the vast majority of choices for who's going to be on the board or authority. He's already got the power over the executive who he hires and fires. He or she has an enormous amount of authority over any and all of these entities. And so the concept that you're going to have a bit more independence in the people who are confirmed as quote unquote the equivalent of, let's say, the board of directors on a private corporation helps to protect the integrity of the entity and provides for a larger number of pairs of eyes taking a look at what's going on. And I think that that is actually in the best interest of the state.
In case you're just joining us, we're talking with State Senator Liz Krueger, and we're talking about reforming the potential pool of applicants that the governor has to appoint from in the future. So under this bill, let's say I work at the Public Utility Law Project, and I'm a consumer advocate on utility issues. So I'm also registered to lobby lawmakers on bills because I want to weigh in before certain measures are even implemented. Would I be prevented from then serving, say, on the Public Service Commission if this bill became law?
I think that the answer would be yes. Now, the good news is if you were working for a public utility law project, the chances of your knowing a significant number of consumer advocates on behalf of low-income utility payers is pretty high. So your ability to recommend to the governor qualified people to do this job who are not registered lobbyists, you know, is higher than normal. So I'm not that concerned that the public advocacy community, who also have to register as lobbyists, won't have plenty of good people they can imagine recommending for this position if Pulp is no longer able to serve on the PSC. And I've never seen Pulp serving on the PSC either, by the way, or the NYSERDA, for example. So it's not like we're taking them off of these boards, because I don't think the governor's been putting them on. But if you take a look, you will see lobbyists for private entities who are on these boards, and I think that that is a real concern. If you take a look at the, these don't go through confirmation of the Senate, so we need to deal with these also. If you look at the IDAs and LDCs around the state, they are disproportionately made up of both elected officials themselves and private lobbyists for the industries that are getting the tax exemption and other items from, say, the IDAs. And so that is also within the scope of what I think we need to be fixing in our state. You're not supposed to get on these boards and commissions so you can decide who the winners and losers are when your clients are waiting to see whether they get to be the winners and losers.
So at the start of this conversation, you talked about the timeline for considering nominees from the governor and how the Senate got its list of nominations for this year in the waning days of the session. And as a result, they're all getting considered in that final legislative rush during that final week. Why does the Senate, regardless of whether it was GOP control in the past or Democratic control now, go along with that timeline in the sense of actually confirming those people that are given very little notice? How come they're not just saying, you know, we'll review these on our own time then? You want to give them to us now? We'll return at a special session in August or September or whatever.
I attempt that and I fail. You know, we get told the world will end if we don't fill these slots, and how can you do this? I think it's worth calling that bluff, but I am just one senator, and so far in my career, I have been overridden to not be able to do that.
So I imagine that's a decision made just at the top, and it's not like the Senate conferences that, and there's a discussion amongst the entire majority, right?
Correct.
Is that frustrating?
No, I think when you're a member of a legislative body, you understand that you are one person who you try to lobby your own position, and you always lose more than you win. I don't particularly find that frustrating because I know that that's the deal I signed up for. Some people only want to be executives because they can't imagine working within a legislative process. I don't choose to try to be the executive of the state of New York. I believe in legislative process, and I am excited to be a New York State senator, but it certainly doesn't mean I get everything I want. I don't know anyone who does.
I don't either. It's definitely not me. So in terms of outstanding nominations, there are some positions in the MTA leadership that the governor was hoping to get filled that at this point are not done. Do you have any indication or any expectation that you'll be back in July or August to take care of those nominations and some accompanying legislation that went with it?
Certainly when we finished session at the end of or midtime of June, we believed we would be coming back to address a number of the nominees that were not dealt with yet. I have no reason to believe we won't go back. I just don't have any date certain or process certain.
And could that apply to some of the marijuana-related appointments as well for that new Cannabis Control Board and the Office of Cannabis Management?
I'm certainly hoping that the governor will give us nominees for those two positions that need Senate confirmation, because I have a biased interest in getting this process started so that regulations, you know, this is the creation of a new state agency. Very rare that that happens. And it's a big agency that will have oversight of adult recreational, a much expanded medical program, an expanded CBD hemp program, expanded clarification of criminal justice laws, and expungement of records of up to 300,000 people who did get caught up in low-level marijuana arrests. So it's a really big task requiring 8 staff to be hired, regulations to be drafted and committed to the public for review. And so I want that not to be delayed. And so I certainly have no problem with coming back to Albany to get that taken care of. There was a bill the Assembly did pass that we did not pass in the Senate yet, and we may or may not, to change the management model of the MTA. That has triggered many, many questions from the public, legitimate, serious questions about what has the MTA been doing with redesign since they were under instructions to do a complete management redesign. What is the status of major projects going forward, and how would they be impacted by this change? Unions are weighing in, transportation advocates are weighing in, plain old citizens are weighing in, lots and lots of questions that people feel need to be answered before we make major management changes or change the law vis-a-vis the management of the MTA. And I am perfectly willing to go back and participate in the kind of hearing and Q&A that should take place when you're talking about something as incredibly important as the MTA.
Well, we've been speaking with State Senator Liz Krueger. She's a Manhattan Democrat who chairs the Chamber's Finance Committee. Senator, thank you so much for making the time, and stay cool.
Thank you. You too.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.